A former youth footballer is suing Celtic FC over the sexual abuse he suffered while playing for Celtic Boys Club. Thompson Solicitors has sent official papers on behalf of one client seeking damages from the Parkhead club. The case will now be heard at the Court of Session in the coming months. So what was it like to play for Celtic Boys Club at the time the abuse was taking place? Well, Pat Nevin says that all the young players thought some of the coaches and managers were creepy, and it was well known that to sit in a car beside the boss, a man who went on to be convicted of paedophilia, was to put yourself at risk of being touched up. Pat Nevin went through the Celtic Boys Club system before playing for Chelsea and then Scotland, among other teams. He's now one of our best-known football analysts. You'll hear beeps in this interview to preserve anonymity.
We didn't know at the time at all that was going on. Certainly young lads shouldn't have been the ones that would have been considered, you know, the ones to speak out about the problems that were happening, the paedophiles that were operating within the club. I have to be honest, I wouldn't have known. And the only reason I can say that with such confidence is because I look back at it and I think, with maturity, I could see it. You know, with maturity and with, you know, now a young kid at that age just thought, well, that guy's a bit of a weirdo. Or he's a bit odd, he's a bit creepy. That was the level of it. The vast majority of the boys were, you know, basically just going playing, you know, the football, you know, and not worrying about anything else. And the real sadness is that's the way the paedophiles operated and do operate. You know, sometimes do it in the shadows, they lurk, sometimes they hide. Right in the open, as we have seen with the likes of Jimmy Savile. But the fact it was there, there's no doubt. But at the time, you just thought, oh, there's a couple of weird people there. And you thought nothing more. Unless, of course, you were the one that was being abused.
Yeah, and so you now, looking back, realise... Well, would you have been coached by Torbert back then?
Well, Torbert was never a coach. Torbert was an overseer, kind of chairman, kind of chap. And a kind of distant figure, someone I would have known to nod my head at and kind of slightly stayed away from because I thought it was a bit creepy. That would have been the limit. It was different. And I played with him for a year. And a year at under-18s, I was in his team. And yes, he absolutely did abuse me, but only verbally. He slaughtered me absolutely every week. He hammered me and then told me at the end of it, by the way, I was only testing you to make sure that you could cope with that when you went out into the real world of football. And I thought that was a kind of harsh thing because he almost put me off football for that what he put me through. Did he do anything else? No. Did I suspect him of doing anything else that was vicious? No. Was he inappropriate? Yeah, absolutely. And uncomfortably inappropriate. But in those days, would we have thought it was anything more than just a bit weird? Nah.
In what way was he uncomfortably inappropriate?
Some of the lads would be sitting in... I mean, these are things that you say it now and you think, whoa, red light, big red flag. You know, sitting in the front of the car, some of the lads, they wouldn't want to sit in the front seat beside him because they think he might put his hand in the knee. So they'd put their boys' club bag on their knees. But I think most of, well, certainly all the players I sort of would have talked to wouldn't have even spoke at any length about it. But had they done it, they'd have just thought, oh, he's just been a bit daft. You know, no more than that.
But Pat, that's abuse.
I don't know. It is. You're absolutely right. I'm not going to trust me, I'm not excusing them. I'm not excusing any of these people for anything that they did. But at the time, that's the way it was looked upon. And it's wrong. You know, and it's a massive red flag now. And we see things differently now. I mean, trust me, there's people that said they've seen things at the BBC with Jimmy Savile, people that said seen the things that, be it churches, be it boys' brigades, be it scouts groups, you know, all the same. The 70s were a weird place when you look at them with our eyes. Look at them with my eyes now, and if anyone touched a child of mine in that way, I'd be flying straight off the handle. You know, and that's what we have to remember, you know, that, you know, the parents should have been the one that were looking at that and seeing the level of inappropriateness of that. Or not even the parents, the other coaches or other people who are in control. But if one of the people who's control, say the chairman of the club, is... now a convicted paedophile. Well, you've not got much chance there, have you?
What I'm interested in here, Pat, is what two things. One, how does it make you feel looking back? And you've effectively told me that all the boys were scared to go in the front seat of the car with because
they'd make a big joke of it.
See, my 1970s didn't have anybody putting their hands on my legs or on my nether regions as a man or a woman at all when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But what you're telling me is almost every young boy in that football club at the time, the Celtic Youth Club, Celtic Boys Club, felt that they were in danger of being touched up by a bloke in the car.
Yeah, I would suggest that would have been the case, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm amazed that, you know, people looking back now, when you see it in that level, I remember having a conversation with a couple of friends that were all at different clubs, and it was down south about 3 years ago, and every one of them had come across the same situation at every club they'd been at. And the one person that was with us was a journalist. The chin was on the floor. It was that rampant in football. And that was four different clubs. And three of them were in England. And that shows you how extreme it was within boys club football and within, not just boys club football, within any youth setups that, you know, paedophiles were basically allowed, you know, to walk about and be involved in things with no problems at all and got away with it. That's the way the sadness and the awfulness of the 70s. And anybody that was in control of those, you know, they've not got an excuse. They should have been able to see it. And so, if they've seen it and thought about it, they should have done something about it.
So are there loads of pretty well-known footballers wandering around just now that I would know from your generation, which is my generation, who've been abused as young footballers?
Yeah, I would guess so. I mean, the first one came out, you remember the first one was Barry Pennell, was it?
Pennell, yeah.
And the first one came out, I was actually on Radio 5 Live when it came out, and they said it was such a shock, it's amazing. And I said, this is the tip of the iceberg. And I've got a complete sense of shock from everybody that was listening at the time. I was supposed to sound shocked, and I wasn't shocked. I was, yeah, this is the start. This is where it all starts to come out. This is... You know, absolutely rampant throughout the game in that period of time in the 70s. And football should have done better, but so should society have been doing a lot better with it. But you know, it's an embarrassment that our society allowed it to happen.
But did everyone at that football club at the time then know this was happening?
I have no idea. And I'd love to be able to say yes, but I have no idea. I would imagine that certainly. Well, Jim Torbett was the one that they talk about, and he went to jail for it. That's fine. That's good that that's happened. Anyone beyond Celtic? So we're talking Celtic Boys Club. I hope you underline this. We're talking Celtic Boys Club.
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely, Celtic Boys Club. Anything beyond that, you know, that was, you're talking, the chairman was definitely, he must have known about it because he was involved.
Pat, we've talked about Celtic Boys Club. Can I just, you're kind of being careful, as you're right to be.
I'm not being careful.
No, to draw.
Celtic
to draw.
Boys Club's a different discussion.
Yes. Who presented the prizes at Celtic Boys Club?
Can I tell you, just to go beyond this, I'm going to take you three steps further on than this, just to make it easier for you. I then signed for Celtic Football Club at 13.
Yeah.
So I was in both. I was then Celtic Boys Club, but then I was an S form as well. And that was kind of, you know, so basically being able to see both at the same time. Because I was just about to sign for Dundee United as a Celtic Boys Club player, because you could do that. You know, one wasn't owned by the other. So I was just about to sign for them, but they got wind of it, and Sean Fallon came and signed me up, as he did another number of other players. So two nights a week you would train with the Boys Club at Barrowfield, and then maybe one night a week, on the Monday night, you would train with Celtic Football Club, which is the S forms, but that would be at Celtic Park. It was a different set of coaches. It was a different place. And other than them coming to the games and them being a feeder club, I didn't really see any connection with them, except going back to what you mentioned there, was when you went to get your awards, it would have been Jock Steen, it would have been Tam Burns, it would have been, you know, all the Celtic players at the time that would have been presenting those trophies. So there was definitely a link. How strong that link is, I think we're going to find out about in court quite soon.
Can you help me and the listeners then, maybe finally here, because you've spoken a lot today, and I know you're writing about this. Celtic Football Club's position in this, have they done the right thing? Do you think that they should have apologised more strongly or more directly, or what is your take on what they've said?
I think they've apologised, but should they pay up? Well, if they feel as if they want to go to court about it and make their position strong, they've got a right to do that. They have got the right. Everyone's got the right to take that to law. If they feel as if they knew about it, or not even that, if they did know about it, they should pay up. They should apologise profusely and pay up now. If they knew what was going on at the boys' club and knew about it for a number of years and allowed it to carry on, they should apologise to everyone profusely and they should pay up to the people that were hurt by it. But that's the question I think that has to be found.
Pat Nevin, thank you very much indeed.